For today's episode, this is an extraordinary story, and I have changed the name of the individual because of the amount of details they have shared in their testimony. And it is a very sensitive testimony. It involves part of their testimony when they were a teenager. It involves demonic possession. It involves bullying. And it involves mental illness. So I wanted to be sensitive to this person and change their name. If you are someone who has been touched by demons, if you're someone who has ever had an alien encounter, if you're someone who's ever been possessed of demons or harassed by demons or opened up the door to Satan through various levels of brokenness or the occult in your life, know that this story is an example of how you can get help in the Lord. Remembering, no matter how dark, no matter how deep, the Bible says, all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Dear Michael, I'm writing an email to you regarding help. I've been watching your amazing videos and they have touched me. And every time I watch them, I feel like I'm about to cry. I can almost feel the love from the Lord from the videos that you do. But I have some things to tell you that have been bothering me for a long time. Having it going over and over in my mind, I have tried finding these things to help me, but I can't find anything that can help me. I have asked the Lord, but I don't know the differences between the demon and the Lord's voice. So I thought maybe you can help me out with my questions and problems. I will be telling you a bit about my life, and it will end with a few questions. Throughout my childhood, I have always felt different and could almost see into my future life. I remember sitting on my mother's lap and saying, I will never be able to fit into this world or to find love, making it harder with my Asperger's syndrome and dyslexia. Throughout my life, I was bullied, being called names like ugly, weird, cast out from the world, causing me to feel insecure about myself and having depression all the way through my childhood and teenhood. I would move from school to school, trying to get rid of the bullying, but it didn't work. Eventually, I was so bad from all the bullying and having stones thrown at my head and feeling like I was being attacked by demons in my sleep, feeling them enter into my body. It got too much, and then I tried to kill myself. I was only 13 years old. Even though I would walk to school by myself, almost feeling like someone was protecting me as I would walk to school, I couldn't understand how this world worked and why I was so different. But my mother would always talk about God and his angels looking over me, but I would have none of it and would shout at her with hate in my heart for the Lord. As the years went by, I became more and more numb and cold, still cast out from the world. I would begin to hate the world and the people in it, and continued to question why the world was so evil. Still damaged from the bullying and from my family, and my mom having to take on two children, things became harder for me and my mother. Then a couple of years passed, and then I realized I had a gift, and I began to draw and write my own stories, blocking out the world. Still, I had so much hatred in my heart and in my eyes. I was lost and broken from this wicked world, from bullying in school, hardship, suffering, and from rejection and being tossed out into the wind. My mother tried to look after me, but I fell into depression. So I tried to fight through it by drawing out my stories and characters. Then 3 more years passed. Still having depression, I began to get problems with property, making me feel even worse. And I think he means physical property, like physical things in the world. I then got symptoms of PMDD, like PMS, which gave me mood swings, depression, or feelings of hopelessness, intense anger and conflict with other people, tension, anxiety, and irritability, decreased interest in usual activities, difficulty concentrating, fatigue. Then getting dysphoria, making me change myself over to a man in 2014. I am now living as a man. I now have a beard and a deep voice. After that, I decided to go to college to study for my future dream of being a filmmaker and writer. A year passed, but one day in 2015, things were about to change. I then began to get visions in 2015 of me and my cot in my room with a hole in the ceiling and of a ship with a bright light shining on me. Now, I made a note here to say this sounds an awful lot like what people have described as an alien encounter or abduction. The person writes, I got lost within this dark world, my mind filled with no hope and thoughts of suicide. I then decided to get into regression. Now, there's a thing called regression therapy. They didn't use that word, but they did say into regression to see what my life would be like and to see what my past memory / vision was. Not knowing what I was getting into, I got deeper and deeper into it. I then had contact with this demon, but it had the likeness of a tall gray alien. I then began getting more and more into it, having full contact with it at night. Then it got even more intense. I was tossed into dimensions and back, feeling like my astro form would come flying out of my body. Now, there is this thing that is accessible via the occult that I've read testimonies about, people engaging or attempting to do this thing called astral projection, where somehow or another, they are able by demonic powers to have their spirits leave their body and go into another realm, perhaps another dimension, or people have described other geographies. This is all stuff that I do not try to learn about. This is all stuff I do not need to know about. This is all stuff I don't want to have any study time in. This is all stuff of the occult. The secret things belong to the Lord. But if you are, or you know anyone, flirting with that kind of stuff, you should stop. I have heard testimony after testimony after testimony like this, where people start flirting with the occult. There's a fascination with aliens. There's the taking of drugs called ayahuasca, and there's demons behind all of it. The occult, there's demons behind all of it. And this is one of those stories that shows in just a realm just beyond us, the power of the principalities in the heavenly realms, in the air all around us, are these demonic powers, spirits, and entities that are at work to deceive the whole world. And this is an example of what it looks like when you engage with that world that you are not supposed to engage with. The person writes, I had to keep my eyes open to keep me from being knocked out, not being able to breathe because of how fast I was traveling through the portal. This is astral projection. I came shooting back into my body, gasping for air when I had awoken. Then it got so bad when I was then being attacked by this small being. As 2015 would end, I would experience physical contact with this being. Demons can touch people physically. I have been touched physically. I have been held down in my bed, and at the exact same time, I've had the covers being able to be pulled off of my body very closely while I was sleeping on my stomach in a sleep paralysis, unable to even say a word or call out to the name of Jesus Christ. I've shared this. I've had demons produce physical manifestations of clanging gates while I was in the middle of prayer, and stuff like that. So demons can, and I saw a demon for the first time ever in black form pass through the bathroom walls when I was living in India. I've seen a person under demon possession in India where they were completely out of control, crawling around on all fours in a train station, barking and acting crazy like a dog. They are real. No matter how much you maybe don't want to believe they are real. But at the same time, I want to pause to say, no matter how scary of an email this may sound, no matter how scary documentary stories, alien abductions, or, you know, people that have been under demonic torment or harassed by demons or even possessed, it all sounds very scary because it's things that are outside of our level of understanding in the natural. They are things that are beyond this world that we naturally, temporally inhabit. And so things in the unknown can be scary. But I want to remind you about how powerful the name and authority and grace and spirit and power of Jesus Christ is over all spiritual forces in the heavenly realms that are arrayed against you or I in His name. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul cried out saying in faith, "The Lord is faithful and will strengthen me and protect me from every evil attack." He will do the same for you. So let us never forget, when we're hearing stories like this that can seem fearful, to remember the God who created these spirits as a result of His punishing of them for their rebellion, who Jesus Himself said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Him." I have seen the power, the incredible power of the name of Jesus Christ to overcome all that these demons have been able to bring into the lives of other people or mine. I mean, think about this, brothers and sisters. I've had many instances of sleep paralysis, but again, the most frightening one was where I was held down, face down in the bed, and those covers were being pulled off. That is a power that is invisible, that was able to grab something physically in my world. It was able to do something to me, to paralyze me, to prevent me from being able to move, to prevent me from being able to speak. I could not even say the name of Jesus Christ. And it was able to somehow or another, from its power in the spiritual realm, move the covers. It was trying to intimidate me slowly, creepily. It would have been like a scene you would have seen in a terrible horror movie, perhaps. And the covers were being peeled slowly. It was like the demon was letting me know, "I am on you. I am in control of you. I'm pulling these covers off of you. I have complete authority over you right now." But that was a lie. As eerie, as scary, as uncomfortable as encounters like that, or when He was shaking the iron gate multiple times when I was in prayer, sitting in my parents' hot tub, and every time I would go into prayer, the iron gates would begin to shake. Those things used to be so frightening, to have an encounter that I had never had before, to have a realm coming at me that I had never touched before. I was the guy who never wanted to look at the idea that Satan and demons were all around. And I had a friend who abused it and made me believe there was a devil behind every tree. And I was in the realm of positive mental attitude, and I can overcome everything with my attitude. And I didn't want to hear anything about this. But I want to remind you that that power, is as much as it was to hold me in my bed, prevent me from speaking, peel the covers off of my head, went away when, after just a few moments of me beginning to think about the name of Jesus Christ, unable to say, "Get away from me in the name of Jesus Christ," I began to say in my heart and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ while I was laying in my bed under the power and control of a demonic spirit. One night I had one try to jump inside of me. Remember, this person said that the demons would come into his body? One night I had a demon land on my side while I was sleeping, and I woke up to him trying to jump off of my side. I know this sounds crazy. It sounds insane. Until you've had this experience, good church folk right now would be like, "Okay, I'm out of here. I don't want to hear any more of this." Brothers and sisters, this stuff is real. I had situations where I would wake up and have a vision of a dog being in bed with me, this terrible demonic dog. And I woke up and this dog was over me in my bed, and he was sniffing all around my mouth, and he was drawing the breath out of my lungs. And I wake up and I'm in sleep paralysis again. This is what these demons do. They have fun with this. They antagonize people. And the Lord allowed me to have these experiences so that when I got emails like this, I wouldn't think this person had a mental illness. I wouldn't think this person has watched one too many Star Wars flicks, but that this stuff is real. Again, my final point, just calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in my spirit was able to stop every one of these times where they were holding me down in sleep paralysis or banging the gates. I would then cry out, in the name of Jesus Christ, I order you to get away from me. Brothers and sisters, at that time, I was not living in known sin, but there was a time when I was able to be touched by devils, one of these times I'm giving you, because I had been disobedient. I had taken off the full armor. The breastplate of righteousness was not on me. And these demon encounters I was having began to be very intimidating. They were frightening to me, and God allowed them to touch me, to discipline me. So when you open up these doors, God will allow you to experience the rotten fruit. Sometimes it might be interesting, fascinating. You might get some information. It might all seem good and well to begin with. But if you are a child of God and you've opened up a door through the occult, through sexual sin, through disobedience, God will allow demons to touch you like this. It's not always because you've been disobedient. It could be that He's disciplining you in general as a Christian. He's teaching you spiritual warfare. When I went to India, I saw spiritual warfare like I had never seen before. I mean, I was living where Satan has his throne. And so I was able to see the manifestation of Satan's powers there in ways that, these are pretty big ones where I'm held down in my bed here as well. But I just saw a much more visible realm, much more acceptable realm of Satan's power when I lived in India. But the name of Jesus Christ can drive these things out of your life. And if you then begin to put the teachings of Christ into practice, it's like, you know, if you have an encounter with demons and you shoo them off for a time, but you don't change and replace what you're doing, disobedience with obedience, if you don't change self-life with Christ's life, if you don't learn His teachings and put them into practice, they'll come back and your final condition, Jesus says, will be worse than at the beginning. So He speaks again of, it got so bad, I was then being attacked by this small being, and as 2015 would end, I would experience physical contact with this being. Then in the middle of 2016, I was taken over by the alien being, taken over my mind, my body, and my spirit. See, when I'm having these encounters with these demons, I'm a Christian. They're still trying to get inside of me. They're still holding me down in my bed. They're still trying to disrupt me praying. They're still trying to do all these things to stop and impede my progress, but they're not able to take over my mind, my body, and spirit for long. In that moment of sleep paralysis, that was very quick. He took over my body, but He could not take over my mind and my spirit. My mind was call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in my spirit, I was doing so. So you can be touched by demons as a Christian, but not controlled by them. Every day, or shall I say, mastered by them. Every day I would wake up in the morning and look at my face and my eyes in the mirror, beginning to unrecognize my face more and more. Now, I will tell you, when my grandfather died, my mother did not believe in demons until she saw my grandfather die. And one of the things that she saw was a contortion on his face at the time he died that she described as evil. He says, and I began to do hand signs and mumbling in words that I didn't understand, drawing symbols and placing them all around the house. This would be in keeping with the occult. The first time I saw a person being exorcised by demons, it was at a deliverance conference in Lakeland, Florida. This lady who had been a yoga instructor, remembering he says, I began to do hand signs. One of the main manifestations this lady had that she was filled with demons was she began to manifest these hand signs, and they were all signs that come out of yoga. And she was manifesting them over and over, like uncontrollably, the spirit inside of her that she had picked up through yoga teaching and being one forever and giving herself over to the spirits were manifesting themselves as this man was speaking the verses of the Bible. They were manifesting themselves through her hands. So he says, I began to do hand signs and mumbling in words I didn't understand. I've often wondered how many people that are mumbling in a false tongue are actually mumbling being anointed by a false spirit. After all, I've read testimonies of people who came out of Bethel Church believing they were prophetically giving words of knowledge to people, finally realizing that they were actually evil spirits. It was a spirit of divination that had come upon them. The person writes, I was slowly being consumed by this evil spirit. In July, I had a birthday party. The day went by and my sister sits down on the couch and I said, I feel spaced out. The day went by and the party came to an end. Everyone went home. After we locked up and went upstairs, my sister came back. I sat on my mother's bed listening to their conversation. After she had finished talking to my mother, I asked my mom to pass the phone to me. And after she had done so, I went downstairs and sat down and I asked, I believe this person is referring to asking their sister, quote, is my guide okay? Is he evil? I feel funny. She said, yes, it is. Quote, you need to cut him off. The Lord is here to help you. He has sent down an angel to help you. You need to thank the Lord that he is helping you. He is warning you. It is taking over you and you need to get rid of it all. It's either life or death. I would like for you to recall the words of Jesus Christ, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. Demons are not trying to entertain people. When people take drugs like ayahuasca, they have these psychedelic experiences and they start experiencing these spirit beings, although it may feel entertaining, although it may do a whopper on your ego, as Mike Tyson would say, that he stopped feeling so egotistical after he experienced these spirits, although it may take an atheist who was an atheist before they took ayahuasca, and now they become a believer in God because they've seen things they can't believe existed, and it may seem benevolent, it is not. They are playing with people, and it is always an intent to lead people into a path of spiritual death. You cannot partake of the table of demons and expect there to be any hope or any life. It is only a focus on them bringing you into death. The person writes, she was able to tell me what I felt without me even telling her, and she was able to tell me what the spirit had said to me previously too. And then she said to me, it's not an alien. It's a demon trying to fuse itself to my soul. The conversation came to an end. At that point, I was so afraid. That same night, I got a black bag and threw out all my stuff. And the next day, I rubbished through all my stuff, books, pictures, and cleaned out my computer. Now, this is the teaching of John the Baptist saying, make straight paths for the Lord to travel. This is the teaching of Paul to Timothy. In a house are many objects. Some are noble, some are ignoble. If a man cleanses himself of the latter, he will be made a useful instrument in the hands of the master. This is 2 Corinthians 7. Let us purify ourselves and cleanse ourselves from all things and anything that contaminates body and soul, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. You see what this person is starting to do? The person starts to realize this entity that I'm flirting with and having a quote relationship with has an intent of death. This person has now been warned that this is not fun. This is not something where you're going to learn something that's going to help your life. You are being deceived by the spirit. And this person begins to take the action of closing the doors to this thing in its life. One time, my parents started to notice in their home that their dog started to look up at the ceiling and bark and bark and bark. And they had never seen this behavior before. And the dog started to act strangely. And I said, Mother, you have a demon. That dog is seeing a demon spirit in this house. You have opened up doors. And I said, look at all these Indian, Native American Indian statues that you have. Look at this dream catcher that you have here. Look at these things you've bought and you brought in. These are signs and symbols of the occult. These are open doors. Brothers and sisters, if you have anything like that in your house, apparently spirits can use these as vehicles, or if you will, somehow or another, it legally opens the door for them in the spiritual realm to engage and to come into your house. You don't want anything. I mean, basically, God told the Israelites, get rid of anything in your house. All of the things that are devoted to destruction, bring nothing in your house like this. This is why I told a friend of mine years ago, you've got to get all these obelisks from Egypt out of your house. You've got to take down all of these pictures of Egypt. I know to you, they are just artwork, but to God that you call yourself a follower of, they are symbols of one of the worst people that ever lived and of the greatest enemy of his people, the Israelites at the time of the writing of the Bible. Please get these things out of your life and house. So he started to get rid of, he says, my pictures and my books were all covered over with symbols. So I threw them all out. And now I look back on it and I think the Holy Spirit went into my sister for that moment. One time I asked her and she couldn't even really remember what she had said. I absolutely believe that God chose her as a vessel, anointed her, and spoke through her as a warning. This shows that you don't need a deliverance minister. You need to have a sincere heart who begins to cry out to the Lord, and the Lord can do a mighty, mighty work to open your eyes and bring you into deliverance. It was very hard and painful. I cried for 2 months. I was attacked by them every night and every day. Notice the attacks didn't go away just by getting rid of these things, but he's taking steps in the right direction. Then the demons that were in me came out of me, making me sweat and shiver, having its face flashing in my mind as well as visions of that night's visit. Now notice, this is one of the things that I try to tell people who've been caught like in pornography addictions or terrible drug addictions or smoking or whatever it is. I try to explain to people that you have to be willing to suffer for a time in order to get out. Notice this person had to suffer. They didn't just go away immediately. This person had to be willing to suffer doing the right thing, making a sacrifice holy and pleasing unto the Lord, getting rid of the things and being willing to suffer in the flesh, being willing, if you will, to face and paid some of the consequences of having opened this door to begin with. God will not always immediately take and remove sin or demons out of your life like that. Sometimes you have to be willing to show the Lord that you're willing to sacrifice. You're willing to do anything. This is what Jesus calls ripping out the eye, cutting off the hand, cutting off the feet, dealing drastically with sin. This is what Jesus calls taking up your cross, denying yourself. This is what Paul called in Romans 12, presenting your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing and acceptable to God. And this is a way that God shows us the weight of the sin that we found so much pleasure in. This is how we don't take for granted His grace, His mercy, and His love. This is how we find ourselves in John 7:47. Forgiven much, love much. Forgiven little, love little. Then the demons that were in me came out of me, making me sweat and shiver, having its face flashing in my mind, as well as visions of that night's visit. My mind was so damaged from it. Remember, we reap what we sow. If you sow to the sinful nature, you will reap destruction. My thoughts, my memory, and it left me spiritually broken. Again, I quote to you John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You cannot play with demons and ever expect anything good to come out of it except death. I couldn't even remember my conversations causing me to repeat myself. So here we have short-term memory loss. Mental illness is happening because this person played with a demon. It tried to get back into me, so I asked my mom to help me out. So she gave the Lord's Prayer to read every night. I did it in the end. I confessed all my sins to God. And I had prayed for forgiveness and have also repented and now recently given my life over to the Lord. I am now getting into God's word and have now turned from my wicked ways and sin. Pause. Brothers and sisters, do you know how beautiful this is? Do you know how much of a picture this is exactly what Jesus Christ told Paul he was sending him to do, to turn people from the darkness to the light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. Notice how the person took the first step, getting rid of, realizing the danger that the fruit on this tree is rotten. Me having these late night conversations with this alien friend, the fruit on this tree is rotten. I'm starting to lose my mind. I have now been told the truth that this is foul play of the devil. This is not an alien having some fun. This is the devil coming to destroy. He then has the awareness. He begins to say, okay, I've got to get rid of all these things that are darkness, these things that are representing open doors. He gets rid of them. He's willing to suffer for a time. And then what does he say? I confessed all my sins to God. 1 John says that God is faithful and just, and that if we confess our sins, He will forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. So all of the unrighteousness that this person is doing, playing with devils, God's gonna come and wipe clean. I had prayed for forgiveness and have also repented and now recently given my life over to the Lord. What an incredible time. What amazing, refreshing blessing. It's like, turn to the Lord that times of refreshing may come. In Acts, it says, confess your sins and repent and turn to the Lord that times of refreshing may come. Brothers and sisters, can you imagine? Can you see it like waterfalls of blessing? Can you see like sun clouds, beams of light coming through the clouds into this person's soul? Times of refreshing. From such darkness to such light, from such bondage to such freedom. I am now getting into God's word and have now turned from my wicked ways and sin. This is repentance. I feel like God has been there all along, and I assure you He was. Like if I would try and go off the path to do something bad, I would almost be pulled back onto it and I would lose interest without me even noticing it. Look at this. Look at the election of God, the mercy of God, the sovereignty of God, that He loves us. Will this person ever be able to say they merited favor before the Lord, that they earned God's righteousness? No. It's amazing that even when we would want to go do something ill, something foul, God turns and comes and mercy chases after us, stops us and blocks us. Praise His holy name. I did want to become a filmmaker as I have visual intelligence. I show things visually. So I thought I could use that to show God's spiritual love for the world through my stories and films and to show truth through my movies to God's children, as there are now movies out there that so do. But I just watched your video of giving everything up for Jesus Christ. But I have no worldly things to give up, for I never fit into this world. So I have never had the chance to interact with the world. The only thing I do is draw, write, and paint movie posters. God has given me the ability, a gift, a talent, and I thought I could put it to good uses for God. But now I have to give it up. I am still confused. If God has always kept me away from the world, what am I involved in? My family, my gift? Question marks. My gift, is that wrong to God? And you also said that God asks us if we will be willing to give these things up. And you also said that God will ask us if we are willing to be rejected. I have been through that. And also to be cast out. I also had that. And also people thinking you're crazy. I had that. My own sister turning against me, hating my guts. My older sister trying to get rid of me, bullying me, being attacked by demons. I had that to an extent. My family was under a curse. Bad things after bad things. So, do you have to go through that again? Because I wasn't with Jesus? My mother has only just found happiness, and so have I. We are now in the Word. These are remarkable, very clever questions this person is asking that I'll give two kind of quick principles. Sometimes something that we have in the natural, God actually gives to us so that we have something valuable to sacrifice to Him. That God doesn't use our singing gift. God doesn't use our ability to play tennis or basketball or make movies. That's something we have to find out what God's will is for our life. And then he mentions about all these sufferings that he's been through already. Will I have to go through them again? But the Bible says that if you suffer as a criminal, as a lawbreaker, if you suffer as a sinner, as somebody doing wicked, these things are not commendable before God. But once you become a Christian and you suffer, then you are commendable before God. So unfortunately, all of the suffering that I went through as a sinner, all the suffering that this person went through as a sinner, they don't count for anything in the kingdom of God. They are simply the consequences of us living in sin, reaping what we've sown. You could expect that when you get right with Jesus, you're going to go through more suffering. You're going to experience all the things that you've heard me talk about in all these recordings, and all the things that the Lord said we'll go through, and they're different for everyone. So I'm going to leave that at the rest. I'm not going to go through the rest of his email. He kind of went on quite a bit about asking these questions about what else do I have to give up and how do I get closer to God, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to allow my message to him now answer the rest of those questions. May God bless you as you listen. Hello, this is Michael Criswell with Relentless Heart. I am so sorry that it's taken me so long to get back to you. I just now got a chance to read through your message. I think I may have seen the YouTube email that came in a while back, and then today I was trying to catch up on a few messages and saw yours from 3 weeks ago, so please forgive me. I do get contacted by too many people. That's just the truth. I'm just one guy, and I can only help so many people. I have made a lot of messages available on the internet, so I want to encourage you, if you have found a few of them encouraging, continue to listen, because I have just tried to share everything I know about how I found God and how God took all the mess in my life as I humbly acknowledged it and gave it to him, how he turned it all around for my good and his glory. And he can do it for other people, and he is doing it for other people. We're hearing some incredible testimonies from all around the world, from people who are being touched by this little ministry. So I read your story, and the darkness in your life, while it is overwhelming, it is not anything beyond what the Lord Jesus Christ can do, okay? When I look at your life story, I'm not surprised at all. I read that and I say, yes, this is what happens when sin is fully grown, and this is what happens when a person opens the door to devils. You know, the Bible says, Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. If we sow to the sinful nature, we reap destruction. And if we sow to the Spirit, we reap eternal life. So my friend, you're no different than the rest of us who have all reaped destruction in our life, one way or another, from the times that we've lived in either known rebellion to God. In other words, we knew better and we didn't do it, or even in the years of ignorance. And brother, I just want to tell you overall, as I listen to your message, wow, what a testimony this could be. If you'll take God seriously and you'll live in the fear of the Lord the rest of your life, what an amazing testimony you potentially have for God. So just give that some thought, man. And I just want to tell you a couple of thoughts that I have for you. You know, you've asked a couple of questions about, you know, what you should do now. Let me just revisit one thought. When you open the door to the darkness through the occult, or you going back and, you know, regressing back to your early childhood and trying to get memories and hypnosis and Ouija boards and mediums and psychics and spiritists and palm readers and tarot card readers and astrology, all of that stuff is from the devil. You already are obviously well aware of this. And so when we open up those doors, I'm just saying this to you as a reminder, sometimes we open up doors that, you know, we maybe can never shut. And only by God's mercy can that door be shut. And so I would challenge you to be very, very sorrowful, if you haven't already, about this with the Lord, and confess openly, not just kind of realize the confession through, yeah, I'm getting these bad results, yeah, this is bad. But literally, I hope you've poured your heart out to the Father and confessed specifically what you did and been honest about it, that you are a sinner. You're a deadbeat like the rest of us, right? Before Jesus Christ, all of us are in captivity and in bondage to sin, or in willful rebellion to God, or even just lack of faith in God. So we're all falling short of God's glory, okay? And you're no worse and no better off than any other sin, because all sin end you up in hell. So what I want you to think about is, after you've done that, is recognize that you may think to yourself, wow, my sin is dirtier, it's more dark, and it's very scandalous and shameful. You know, I think that you are the kind of person that the Lord Jesus Christ intentionally, by the Holy Spirit, included scandal in his own genealogy. When you look at the genealogy of Jesus Christ, you can quickly see real serious problems in there. You can see incest, Tamar and Judah. You can see prostitution, Rahab the prostitute. You can see adultery, Bathsheba. You can see murder, David against Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. You can see intermarriage, Boaz and Ruth. You see some of the big sins in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, and Jesus still came through that line. Jesus still was born through a lineage of failure. So Jesus said the flesh counts for nothing. If you lived under the old covenant, they could stone you. You know, it was a sin for a man to dress like a woman. That was a terrible, terrible sin. It was an abomination and a disgrace, okay? What you've done, I'm sure you'd agree, is a whole lot farther down the road than that. So if you were in the old covenant, I could expect you'd be stoned, perhaps, right? Thanks be to God we're not. Because the old covenant could never match up and could never bring about the righteousness that God desired in his creation, only by the changing of the life internal, the spirit. Jesus said the flesh gives birth to flesh, the spirit gives birth to spirit. And so the only thing that matters is not this body that you're in, that you've lived in ignorance and willful sin and darkness and confusion in, but what can happen on the inside of you being born again. Your body has absolutely nothing to do with you being born again and living like a true follower of Jesus Christ. Okay? If Jesus Christ can deliver a Savior through a womb that had passed through adultery and murder, my friend, what is beyond the Lord? And does the Bible say he does not? Did he not come to seek and save that which is lost? Did he not come to save his people from their sins? Did he not come for the sick who need a doctor? So I hope you'll be encouraged in that. Now, I don't have any idea what God thinks about your heart, your inside. That's only God to know, and I don't know. I'm just telling you what I've observed when I've listened to your message so far is it sounds to me like God has been merciful to you to turn you around from this darkness that you, in your own ignorance, opened doors to, right? You've asked some other questions about giving up things in your life. My friend, this has nothing to do with you or your story. It has to do with what Jesus teaches all of his followers. If anyone comes to me and he does not take up his cross and deny himself and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:33 says, if anyone does not give up everything he has, he cannot be my disciple. You ask a question about your family. Anyone who comes to me and doesn't hate his mother and father, his brother and sister, his wife and children, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, hating means to love less. We can get that from reading Matthew 10:34-38. Anyone who loves his mother or father more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his brother or sister or wife and children more than me is not worthy of me. So you can't love anybody more than Jesus. And whoever you love the most, you'll obey. So when Jesus's commandments to you or direction for your life come into contradiction with your family's commandments or desires for your life, whoever you choose to obey is the person you love the most. In order to be pleasing to God and to receive his favor, you have to choose to love him the most and to obey him the most. In regards to giving up your arts and your talents and all that stuff, okay, only the Lord can tell you that. What you have to do is, since none of it was yours to begin with, right? You didn't sign up for this when you were born. You didn't say, oh Lord, I'll have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. He gave you what he gave you, okay? It's our responsibility to yield everything in our being and all of our will to him and allowing him to either take or to give or to use or to shelve. That's the Lord's business in our life. That's what it means to be a Christ follower, is that you exchange your life for his. You're basically saying, look, Lord, I'll be the boat. Where do you want to go? I'll be the donkey. Where do you want me to carry you? You see, if you're a true spirit-filled follower of Jesus Christ, he's in you. And so wherever you go, he goes. Now, if you're going somewhere he doesn't want to go, you're rebelling against God. So the goal is to find out, what is God's plan and will for your life? Now, there are certain things that are easy to know what are God's will. It is God's will that you would be sanctified. It is God's will that you would not participate in sexual immorality, in darkness, that you wouldn't covet, that you wouldn't be unforgiving, that you wouldn't be self-sufficient, all kinds of things. It's God's will that you wouldn't love money. Okay? But then there's other things that are a personal will for your life. What does God want you to do with your talents, if anything? What does God want you to do with your time? What does God want you to do in your relationships? So, first base, if I can say this, first base is to be filled fully with the Spirit of God, and there is no way to do that unless you're filled fully with the Word of God, the words of Jesus Christ. The Spirit and the Word go hand in hand. Jesus Christ taught, "My words are spirit, and they are life." So if we want the Spirit and we want life, we have to have the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14, 21 through 23, He said, "Whoever," and that's you, "whoever has my words and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And my Father will love the one who loves me, and I too will love him and show myself to him." He goes on to say, "If anyone loves me, he'll obey my commands. My Father and I will make our home with him." To me, this is the climax, the pinnacle, what it means to be living a mountaintop, spiritually full and satisfying experience with Christ. That he's made his home with you, that you've invited him in, not just into the living room, but into the kitchen, into the hallways, into the closets, into the bedrooms. He's made his home with you. You've yielded more and more of your home, your house, your thinking, your ways, your behaviors, your attitudes. You've yielded them to the Holy Spirit, and he fills each room in your heart until you become completely filled. And as Jesus said, "Whoever has drunk from him, rivers of living water will flow from without him." That's what you, I hope, are desiring. And the way you get there, again, whoever has my commands and obeys them, okay? Jesus says, "Come unto me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Sin has been a very bad friend to you. And you have been burdened and weighed down. And one of the most truthful things you said is your whole family's been under a curse. Because as I was reading your email, I was going to tell you, your life is under a curse living like this. And a curse is God removing his hand. This whole world is already cursed by sin. And it's got a devil who's destroying everything and anybody in it he can. So God doesn't have to put anything on you to curse you. All he has to do is remove his protection. And you become vulnerable. It's like peeling your skin off and going to a germ factory. You're vulnerable. God didn't have to add anything to you. You're going to be sick. You're going to die, right? So your whole life has been under a curse. And 1 Corinthians 16:22 says, "If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, a curse be upon him." Okay? Now, especially those who call themselves Christ followers, not necessarily the people in the world. They don't know any different, right? They're heathens. And God sometimes is pleased to allow them to have great so-called lives. But for those of us that call ourselves Christ followers, Paul says, if you don't love God, 1 John 5:3 says, this is love for God, to obey his commands. So Paul says, if we're not doing that, a curse will be upon us, okay? So I always tell people, look, it's real simple. If your life looks like a curse, it's because it is. It's because it is. No need to figure it out. No need to get lost in the details of who said what, who did what, and when, and all that. Those things don't matter. Somewhere along the road, you got lost. You walked down the wrong path. You opened up the wrong door. You met and flirted with the wrong darkness. Okay? So you've opened up the door to Satan in your life. I hope you've repented of it. You're no filthier than a Mary Magdalene who was filled with seven demonic spirits, okay? And she was cleaned, and the Lord Jesus walked shoulder to shoulder with her, and he can do the same thing with you and anybody who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ in sincere repentance with a strong desire to love him and obey him. Brother, that's home free. That's who God's looking for. You said you don't fit in the world. Now that is somebody who God's looking for. God does not choose those voted to be most popular in their high school to use. He can use them, but he rarely chooses them for anything significant. God has consistently throughout biblical history and Christian history chosen the weak, the despised, the lowly, the rejected, and the outcasts. I have a 15-year-old son named Tyler who's grown up the same way. He's not interested in showing off like the other boys are. He lives completely isolated from most people because he thinks so differently than they do. He feels alone and he feels he doesn't fit in. My friend, those are the kind of people that God chooses, okay? Those are the kind of people that God chooses, the ones that everybody else overlooks, the Josephs of the world. The other brothers despise him. That's the one God wants. The Davids of the world. The youngest one, he's not even in the lineup. When Samuel is looking for the anointed one, he's not even in the lineup. The family doesn't even consider him as worthy to be in the lineup. And yet that's the one God chooses. Gideon, the weakest clan, the weakest member in his clan, that is the one God chooses. Ruth, who is so low, she's gathering and gleaning behind the servants. Like she's lower than a servant. That's the one God would choose to have become David's grandmother. Think about this. The rejects, the throwaways. That's who God uses. The weak, the lowly, and the despised. Okay? And God does this. That's why the Bible says we have this treasure in jars of clay so that this all-surpassing power may be shown to come from God and not from ourselves. So think about this. If you've made a huge mess of your life, I'm not endorsing known willful sin. But if in your ignorance and rebellion to God, you've made a huge catastrophe, I mean a mess of your life, and then God comes along with the little child, humble-like faith you give him as a mustard seed of faith in your heart, and he turns your whole life around, baptizes you in his Holy Spirit, fills you with life, fills you with life to the full in Christ Jesus and his power, and answers your prayers and anoints you for his work. What does that say to everyone around? Wow, clearly this guy didn't do this. God is doing this. And who do they praise? They worship and praise the Creator rather than the creation. That's why God chooses the weak, so that no man can boast before him and so that no man can touch his glory. Okay? So man, I have to tell you, it sounds to me like you have a lot going for you. You've been broken. You've messed up. You rolled like a pig in the filthiest of the filth, the mud. And you know something? God was merciful to you. God was merciful to you and he opened up your eyes so you could see this is bad. You need to walk away from this. What an amazing testimony you could have. Okay, but listen, I promise you this, if all you have is hope, you have nothing, Jeremy. If all you have is hope and a desire, you got nothing. You have to have, in order to be a true Christian, you have to intentionally learn and practice the teachings of Jesus Christ. And anybody that tells you anything different is sadly deceived. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" Faith is what saves you. And if you come to faith sincere from your heart in Jesus Christ, you confess him as Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're instantly, irrevocably, permanently saved if you die 30 seconds later, okay? But if you live 60 seconds, and I'm being a little bit dramatic about the time, if you live enough time, God will want to see, and you will have, and everyone else will know your faith is genuine or not by how you live and whether or not you obey the teachings of Christ. John 8:31, he says to the Jews who believed him, right? They believed, but they're not saved and they're not really disciples because Jesus said, "You are really, like authentically, truly my disciples if you hold to my teaching, if you hold to my teaching." In John 15:5-8, verse 9, he says, "Now remain in my love." He says, "Obey my commands and you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." And Jesus Christ teaches in that same paragraph, "If any man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And he says, any tree that does not bear fruit, any branch that doesn't bear fruit will be cut off and thrown into the fire and burned. So we have to put his words into practice. That's how we remain in Christ, is to obey his words. So we're in it. We're in him. But to remain in him, we have to love him, and loving him is to obey him. So I want to encourage you, go take the John 7:17 challenge, where I go much greater in detail into the teachings of Christ. And those are the only words that matter. the words of Jesus. Okay? I'm just telling you they're real and they mean exactly what they say and there's no way around it. Go put those words into practice. And those words, as you practice them one at a time, will become life to any part of you that is dead. And you'll be sanctified and you'll be continually cleansed and God will speak to you. God will tell you exactly what He wants you to do. He has no problem at all knowing how to communicate to you. Okay? But see, you got to remember this. God's not interested in giving anybody a personal will for their life until they're interested in surrendering their whole life and will to Him and obeying His teachings. Many, many, many people want a word from God or guidance and direction from God, and yet they still haven't forgiven what their sister did to them when they were a kid. Or yet they're still spending 90% of their thoughts chasing the latest money-making idea. You see, God's not going to speak to a person like that. They're not even obeying the basic teachings of Jesus Christ. So that's where life will come from, is you obey His teachings, God will show up in your life. It's all throughout Scripture. Okay? That's how you know if you're truly. In fact, the Bible says in Acts 5 that the Holy Spirit knows this, to whom God has given to those who obey Him, saying that God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. Okay? So, brother, I hope this encourages you. One other question. You asked if you have to lose your family. Okay, God will give you guidance in this. All right? He'll let you know if you have to walk away from relationships or not. Let Him guide you. Not everything is black and white in the Christian's life. There's many times I was able to look at a scripture and say, ooh, I should obey that. But the Lord says, nope, just sit still, just wait. That's why you have to have guidance. You obey what you know to the best of your ability based on what's written in the Word. God will give you the understanding by His Spirit as you fear Him. He'll give you grace, the power that you don't have to understand it and obey it, okay? And He'll give you guidance. But it's pretty simple, these principles. Don't be unequally yoked. So you don't want to be in relationship to anybody, especially if they call themselves a Christ follower and they're living like the devil. The Bible says with such a person, 1 Corinthians 5, do not even eat. Okay, you don't even associate with them. Don't be unequally yoked with that of unbelievers. For what does light have in common with darkness and Christ with Belial? Nothing, right? Bad company corrupts good character. So if you have people in your family that are still messing around with devils or involved in some dark stuff, you want to avoid them, no matter what the cost. Okay, let God deal with them. That's their business. You're only supposed to put the mask on yourself first. If the plane's going down, they tell you, put the mask on yourself first, then help other people. And that's exactly what God says. You have to come to Him. He doesn't say, come to me, all of you who are weary, burdened, and bring all your friends who are more messed up than you. No, He says, you come to me. Okay? So choose to do His will, and God will tell you from His Word. He'll guide you to direction, and you can ask Him to confirm it, and God, you'll learn how to hear from God. Okay, God may choose a very unique way of speaking to you, okay, or He may choose a very plain way of speaking to you, but you will know if you truly desire to hear God's voice, because you truly desire His will, all right, get this point. As the great George Mueller said, meekness, which is what God blesses to those and actually has them inherit the earth, meekness is a preference, a real preference, for God's will. So if you really want to do God's will, you can take what I'm telling you to the bank of heaven and cash it. If you really want to do God's will, God is going to speak to you. But if you come to God like so many people do in pretense, just to get God to speak to you about how you can find your will be done in your life, forget about it. God will wash His hands with such a person. That's the truth. If you really desire Him and His will, God will make it very clear to you. I have no problem hearing God. It took me a little while to understand how God was speaking to me. He would speak to me in multiple ways. I learned to hear God over several years, and now it's like breathing. I can't even tell you the last time I had to struggle and go, oh Lord, what are you saying to me? If so, it might have been for a few hours or a day. Okay, and then God makes it very clear to me. He'll do the same thing for you. One other question you had asked was about the sex change. Ask the Lord about that, okay? Ask the Lord about it, because Jesus said the flesh counts for nothing, okay? Jesus said the flesh counts for nothing. You did it when you were in a stage of ignorance. I'm not entirely sure what the Father's heart would be on that. I don't know if the Father would tell you to stay put or to reverse it, because the Bible says the flesh counts for nothing. It's like, you know something? The Lord just gave me the answer. The Bible says you should stay in whatever position you're in when you come to the Lord. Were you circumcised? Don't become uncircumcised. Were you uncircumcised? Don't become circumcised. The Bible says stay in the position you were in. That's the answer. Thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So stay in the position you're in when you came to Him. You don't have to go back, because see, if you go to try to change, unless you want to and you feel God telling you something differently, but for you to go backwards to change something in the flesh is the equivalent of trying to become uncircumcised if you were already circumcised, or vice versa. You see? And what the Bible says to us in the New Covenant is it's not a circumcision of the flesh that counts. It's a circumcision of the heart. What you want to reverse is the damage that's been in your heart. Deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can understand it, right? Jeremiah 17:10. It's a deceitfully wicked organ, spiritual organ. So you want to see that reversed, and you want to see life and grace and power in your heart. Those are the thoughts that I have for you scripturally, and I think I answered most of your questions. I'm, again, so sorry that it took so long to get back, but perhaps it's the Lord's timing. His timing is perfect, right? So let's just believe in faith. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for pulling him out and reaching down and pulling him out of hell's grip. And now I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, you'd give him understanding and you'd give him grace and fill him with spiritual wisdom, Lord. Help him to understand the knowledge of your will and your ways. And Father, I pray you protect him from all the devil's lies that tell him he's a has-been, he's been washed up, he's gone too far. God, may your will be done in his life. May no lie have any place in his heart of any permanence whatsoever. May he learn the principle of taking every single thought captive and obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray you have your way with life. Pray you have your way with him, Lord, and that he obeys you. In Jesus' name, God, I give you thanks. Amen. Amen. God bless you, brother. I hope you have a wonderful day, and may God continue to bless you as you seek him. Go take the John 7:17 challenge, okay? Bye-bye, brother.